Welcome to the Valley College Connection, where John Kawai and Scott Wigand, two Valley professors, engage in a conversation about success with educators and students. Each week, they'll sit down with a different guest to find out ways each of us have had to plan, persevere, and overcome to where we are now. The show will also highlight resources and services that are working to make a difference at Valley College.
This afternoon, we are joined by Dr. Almeda Bagdasarian, Professor of Child Development at Los Angeles Valley College. Thank you so much for joining us, Almeda.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. I'm very excited to be part of this project.
Oh, we're excited to have you. I know that you're involved in a lot of different projects at Valley College, and you're a key member of the faculty leadership here. And so we really appreciate your time. And if you could start off by just sharing with us some of your background, you know, the path that led you to Valley College, and we can go from there in any direction we want to.
I'm happy to share that I'm a product of the community college system, which is one of the reasons why I went into teaching in higher education and teaching at a community college as a full-time faculty member. But I want to share a little bit about my background. I'm an immigrant myself. My family immigrated to the United States in the mid-80s, and I was about 12 years old at that time. I was born and raised in Tehran, Iran, and I am an Armenian American. I'm very excited to share with you some of the paths that has brought me to the field of education, because many times in my classes, when I share this information, my students are really surprised. And not only are they surprised, but sometimes they'll tell me that it inspires them to do and to believe that it's possible to get a higher education and make a difference in our society, and to do the kind of work that really makes you happy.
Almeda, let me ask you this. What was the reason for your parents immigrating from Tehran?
My family decided to leave Iran during the war between Iran and Iraq. And this was after the revolution in Iran. And so it was really difficult for my family to have their young children in the country at the time, because it was just a safety issue. And so my family decided to flee the country and go to Switzerland, where we had family members. And initially, the plan was to live in Switzerland because that's where we had some roots. But shortly after, my family decided that they wanted to move to the U.S. because it was obvious for them that life in Switzerland was going to be even more difficult for them as immigrants.
What was your status in Switzerland? And then what was your status when you first came in here? Was it as a refugee, or did you guys win the lottery?
Actually, no. My family had a green card. And actually, initially, we left Iran with a visa to go to Switzerland. And then we were living there for about a year when my family always had the green card, but never really considered moving to the U.S. because we had family in Switzerland. And it just seemed like at the time it was the better decision to just stay put there, because we still had family members in Iran. And my parents felt it would be better for us to be situated in Europe than to be in the United States at that time. Mm-hmm. But shortly after looking for work and realizing that the opportunities in Switzerland would be much less for them because they were really starting from zero, mm-hmm. right? Ground up. Because at the time when we left Switzerland, when we left Iran, it was a very tough time. People were not allowed to leave with any financial backup. We just left with very little bit of money and left the country. I did go to school in Switzerland for a few months, but my parents realized early that it would have been better for them to move to the United States, because we also had family here. And that's when they made the move. So we lived in Switzerland for about a year, and then immigrated to the United States.
At this point, what grade were you in?
So when we came to the U.S., I was just starting sixth grade. So I was about 12 years old. And by this point in my life, English was my fifth language, because being that I'm Armenian, my first language was Armenian. My second language was Farsi. My third language was French. And my fourth language was Swiss Dutch. And so in order for me to be successful and do well in school, I had to learn yet another language. So English is my fifth language. It was a very difficult transition, to say the least. Just being in a classroom, not knowing how to communicate with my teachers, how to communicate with my peers. At that age and stage of development, it was really difficult.
How did the other children treat you being from Iran? This is during the Reagan years, or was this Clinton years?
The Reagan years, actually. Yes, it was tough. I don't think that any of my difficulties in school was really politically driven, but it was more about, oh, you don't know the language, you don't know how to speak English. And they made fun of me. And it was really difficult because, you know, I was 12 years old. And at that age, you know, early adolescence, it's just not a fun place to be when you're all your peers are communicating and you know, they already have established friendships. And so that was probably the most difficult time for me in terms of education. And having had all the changes in my life, because there was a time where I didn't even go to school in Iran because of the war, it was just hard for me to catch up with what the expectations were and where my peers were. Mm-hmm.
And then which city did you immigrate to originally?
We came to Los Angeles when we immigrated to the U.S. We actually arrived at the Burbank Airport. I remember that day because all my cousins that I hadn't seen for many, many years, and some I didn't even remember, came to the airport to visit us. It was nice to see family members, but it was also, I felt like everything was so foreign. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult for me to establish, you know, those relationships again, because I hadn't seen my aunts and my uncles and my cousins for a good 10, 11 years. I mean, some of them I didn't even remember because I was an infant or a toddler, you know, when they left. So
how did you make the adjustment? So now you're in junior high. And then, so what were sort of the important moments that you had?
I'm so glad you're asking about that, John, because I think that for me, I realized that I don't know if this was just my own way of coping with the circumstances that I was living in, but I was just silent for a very long time. I would say a good 2 years. I didn't really speak at school. I didn't say anything. I didn't really participate much because I felt embarrassed or felt like, oh, what if I try to say something and I have an accent or I don't say something appropriately, excuse me, will my peers make fun of me? And it was just really tough. But I think that one of the positive aspects of that was that I spent a lot of time listening to others, really trying to pick up on the language and learning that way through observation and just actively listening. And I think that really helped me. But it definitely was not an easy, my education from sixth grade until graduating from high school was definitely not an easy process.
And then how did your father deal with this transition in terms of employment?
Well, my parents both just started working, were able to borrow some money from other family members and start a business. Actually, they had several businesses related to the kind of work that my dad was doing in Iran. My father is actually an engineer, but he was also a businessman in Iran. So he was able to tap into some of the knowledge and information that he already had from his life in Iran and was able to use that, even though he didn't speak the language very well. My mother, who did know some English, was able to help him establish a business. But one of the, so they actually tried to have several small businesses and none of them really picked up until they bought a Italian restaurant and were able to make ends meet and raise their family, my brother and I. For many years, my parents had a pizzeria, and the most important message that they shared with us daily as we were going about our lives was education, education, education. And I just remember my parents working very hard to try to make ends meet and to try to make life good and easy for us, for my brother and I. But the most important point that has always stayed with me is how important education is, because they felt very strongly that the move that they made in their lives was all based on making sure that my brother and I would have the opportunity for an education.
How well did you do in school, in high school?
I did okay. You know, it was still very difficult for me. Like I said, the adjustment during those adolescent years, being a teenager, was very difficult. I don't regret it, but I do want to share that opportunities for me really came in when I began at the local community college. That was the first time that a teacher, a faculty member, ever showed interest in wanting to help me grow and develop and learn and study, really. And I feel so blessed to have met such a faculty member. Actually, the person that I'm referring to was my child development professor, my very first child development class that I ever took.
Let's let everyone know her name and which college. Let's give her a pat on the back.
Absolutely. Her name is Mrs. Melita Bauman Riddle, a professor, now a retired professor. She taught at Glendale Community College. After taking a child development class from her, I realized how much I love the field of child development. And it just made such an impact on me. And the way that she approached her students and helped each and every one of us grow and see our own potential is the reason why I'm here today.
So what was it about her that made her so special?
Mrs. Melita Bauman Riddle was a faculty member who took the time to show interest and want to help every single student that she had. I remember going to her office hours the very first week of college classes. And I remember trying to talk to her and trying to explain to her that there was absolutely no way that I could do a presentation in front of the class because I was too shy, too afraid, too scared. And I remember she encouraged me to not only stay in the class, but to visit her during her office hours every week so that we could together come up with strategies of ways that I could get more comfortable sharing in class and growing in that way in her class. So that's just one example, but there are many other examples that I could share. But I think the bottom line, something that I learned from her that I use every day now with my own students, is that when you take the time to show a student that you care about them and that you want to help them, you might be the very first person that's ever done that for that student. And given that I had so many different educational systems that I had gone through and the struggles that I had, just learning different languages and learning about different educational systems, for the first time, someone was actually paying attention to what my needs were and asking me how they could help me be successful.
Isn't that amazing? I remember also in my life, there's only been one professor who looked at me and asked me to help him on a project. And I remember asking him why. And he said, well, you're a smart guy, right? You can help me on this. And I've never forgotten that feeling, you know, of someone saying, you're a pretty smart guy. You can help me with this, right? And it's amazing how these sort of these casual words that we throw out there, right? That are so casual for us, are so impactful to the students. So was that the plan going into Valley, into Glendale College, that you were going in and to seeking to do child development?
Actually, that was not my initial plan. I always knew I enjoyed working with kids because I actually also worked or did some one of my electives during high school. I spent about a year in a kindergarten classroom doing some hours, volunteering or interning. But having a faculty member believe in you is what really prompted me to get into child development, knowing that there is someone there that could guide me and help me. And it was just incredible. So, I fell in love with the field because I had also started working directly with children at the time at a preschool, at a local preschool. Mrs. Bauman Riddle decided that it would be really important for me to share those experiences in our class discussions. And even though I was the quietest student and I always sat in the back and I was too embarrassed to share, she encouraged me daily, and I ended up taking many classes from her naturally because I felt so safe and comfortable in her classes. But that was another tactic that she used. She said, "Listen, you know a lot, and I want you to share in class." And I remember when I graduated with my master's degrees, Mrs. Bauman was invited to attend, and unfortunately, she couldn't attend at the time. She couldn't come to my graduation, but she did call me a month after graduation and said, "Almeda, I would like for you to come and teach at Glendale Community College as a adjunct, as a faculty member." And I almost had a heart attack when I got that call because I remember thinking, "There's no way. There, all the students, all these amazing students she's had. Me? What makes you think I could do a good job?" And I remember saying to her, "I really appreciated how much she believed in me, but I would be too nervous in front of the students that I could never do it, not the way she teaches." And she was so loving and wonderful, and she said, "Almeda, our students need you. They need to see that, because they see themselves in you. You are a great role model. You need to come teach for us." So that was the beginning of my teaching experience in higher ed. Actually, she asked me to co-teach with her the very first semester, which really was a training opportunity for me.
So you're at Glendale College and you found this wonderful mentor. And then after Glendale College, what did you transfer to?
I went to Pacific Oaks College, which is a small liberal arts college for teacher education mainly and human development. So that's where I studied human development with the specialization in early childhood education. I learned about Pacific Oaks College through my professor because she had earned her master's degree at that university. And the program where I was working as a preschool teacher had many alumni from that program. And the philosophy of the college was really in tune with what I believed in education, respecting the student, allowing the student to think critically on their own. An anti-bias approach. So it was a really great fit for me.
And then what would be the argument to go there instead of someplace like CSUN or Cal State LA?
At the time, I felt that the college could provide me the opportunities that I would not be able to really experience anywhere else because of the philosophical aspect of the college. Pacific Oaks College is based on Quakers' philosophy of, inclusive education, anti-bias, anti-racism.
And they were early on this, right?
Very, very early. The book that I still teach from to teach one of my courses was written by faculty from Pacific Oaks College. It's Anti-Bias Education. And so it was just a natural fit for me to be a student at Pacific Oaks College.
And at that time, was the dream to do K to 7, or was it to do high school?
Actually, at the time, I wanted to earn my bachelor's degree and work with preschool children. Maybe, with a higher education, I was hoping to become a lead teacher, a master lead teacher, and a director, which I was able to achieve even at the school that I was working at the time, which is another program that I would love to talk about for a minute, if it's possible. I was really lucky to get hired as an aide. This is right out of high school. And I worked at a program called the Child Educational Center, affiliated with JPL and Caltech. So it was a private program that served families who worked at JPL and Caltech, but it was also open to the community. So there was a nice, diverse group of children and families. One of the things that I always like to share with my students is that although when I got hired at the Child Educational Center, I was making very little money, the program's philosophy fit my philosophy as a teacher. You know, so sometimes it's not always perfect where you have the best pay, the best benefits, and the best philosophy. But sometimes a good fit could mean other things. And so I always like to share this with my students because when I worked at the Child Educational Center, they were great supporters of continuing your education. Even though I was a teacher, you know, I was an aide at first and then a teacher's mm-hmm. assistant. So I kind of moved up in that program. And I stayed there for about 10 years, but I was also able to not only gain experience and work in different positions, first as an aide and then as an assistant teacher and then an associate teacher, a lead teacher, a master lead teacher, and eventually a school age program director. But I was also able to continue my education. The program's philosophy was a great fit for me. So a couple of points that I always share with my students is when you're looking for job opportunities in early childhood, or perhaps this is something that may apply to other areas as well, make sure the program is a good fit for you, because when you wake up in the morning, you want to be happy about where you're going to work, right? The good fit is about, does the program fit my philosophy? So it did, which is why I was able to stay there for 10 years. Was I able to meet the expectations mm-hmm. that they had from me as a teacher? Was the program going to offer me opportunities to grow? Which they did, because I was able to, the more units I earned at the community college, the higher positions I was able to apply for. And then lastly, it's a win-win when sometimes the pay isn't that great, but the benefit is that they would allow me to leave early so I could take evening classes, or I could come in late in the mornings if I had a class that I had to attend in the morning. So they worked with me. So sometimes when I share about benefits in a program, I always like my students to think about how will this program help me grow, because you start in one position, but you don't have to stay there forever, right?
Yeah, I think especially when you're starting out, you shouldn't necessarily focus on salary. Your focus should be on opportunity.
Right.
Like where is this a growing opportunity? So I guess for me, the big question I have is, as you go through these stages, right, director, lead instructor, what are sort of the responsibility differences of these promotions?
Absolutely. Great question, John. So the state of California requires early childhood educators to have 12 units of early childhood or child development to begin working with children as a preschool teacher. So this is, the state of California has many requirements, but this is the basic main units that are required if you want to work with children. Many of our students actually apply for the certificate at Valley College. This certificate is called Certificate A, Preschool Teaching. Once a student takes the 12 units, they can actually apply to the state of California and receive a permit, an early childhood education permit, also known as Children's Center Permit. And that permit allows them to work in a public institution working directly with children. So if you have 12 units of ECE or child development, you are able to be left in a classroom by yourself with 12 kids. Okay.
And at this point, you would be an aide?
You could be an aide with 6 units.
Okay.
As well. But if, you know, once you have your 12 units, a preschool could hire you as a preschool teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So, of course, every program is different. Every employer is different. But the basics that you need to begin working with young children is 12 units. And most assistants have 12 units of ECE. But in some programs, you'll find a lead teacher with 12 units of ECE. And typically, those are the private preschools. What we offer at Valley College is actually pretty amazing because all of our certificates in child development are paired up with what the state requires. So once you earn Certificate A, you can earn a permit from the state of California, and that would allow you to work with young children. And every time you take more units, you sort of start moving up on that scale. You begin with 12 units of ECE. Once you have 12 units of ECE, you want to apply for your first certificate at Valley College. You also qualify for the state permit to become an associate teacher. It works out really nicely. And I always encourage students to think about what they want to do in the field, because if they plan on staying in early childhood, they want to also apply for the state permit, because that will allow them to work in not only in private preschools, but also public institutions like Head Start programs. Locally in the Valley, we have many, many programs, both public and private. And that's where our students are getting hired. So it works out really nicely.
So then what's the next level then?
Once students finish the 12 units of ECE, they can continue with their education in child development and earn more units. Each time you earn more units, you qualify for a higher level permit with the state of California. Within the department, we have several certificates, and our certificates are stackable, right? So if you've done Certificate A, you're most likely one or two classes away from earning your second certificate, which is Certificate B, and so on. And all this information is on our website, but I think that many students are not aware that there's this possibility that once you get your very first certificate, the rest comes very easily, because just as an example, in order to qualify for Certificate A and become and have the preschool teaching certificate, you need Child Development 1, Child Development 3, Child Development 11, and one additional elective, either CD10 or CD42. Once you have those 12 units, the next course that you want to take is Child Development 38, which is the administrative course in early childhood. So somebody who's interested in becoming a director or an assistant director or go into administrative work in an early childhood program, they would need this next certificate, which is Certificate B.
Now, for you, when you were doing the lead teaching versus becoming management, how did you enjoy that transition?
I really enjoyed it because I was still able to work directly with children and their families. What's really unique about working in early childhood is that even as a director, you always have direct contact with children and their parents. And so it was a really natural flow for me. So I would say that it was really positive. Although I've worked with many colleagues who shared with me over the years that they really were not interested at all in the administrative or leadership aspect of being a director, but they were really interested in being in the classroom, working directly with the children only. Does that make sense?
Sure. And then where is the largest financial bump? Would it be from instructor to director, or is it between like lead director and teacher, or is there a place where there's a large bump in pay?
I would say that the large bump is between teaching or going into administrative positions. And I think one more point to just keep in mind is that when you work for public schools or public institutions, you have a better chance for a higher pay and more benefits than if you were to work for a private preschool.
I usually try to encourage my students to work for the state if they're going to do child dev, just because the pensions are so good and the health insurance benefits. So during this whole transition, where were you in school?
So by the time I was in graduate school, mm-hmm. I was already a school-age program director within that same organization. Shortly after I finished my master's degree, there were many opportunities that came in my way, and this was by former faculty and former colleagues, but I did have the opportunity to work for a very well-known organization in the Valley, the Child Care Resource Center, CCRC, which is a resource and referral agency that helps children and their families in our local community. So I was recruited to work for them, but I also had the opportunity to work at a domestic violence shelter, which was really rewarding work for me. Having had a background in counseling really opened up many doors for me as well. So many times when my students ask, you know, do you recommend that I do a bachelor's degree in child development, a master's degree in child development? I always like to share with my students that sometimes, although this wasn't planned for me, it happened for me this way. I think it was a huge blessing for me, because having a bachelor's degree in human development with the specialization in early childhood education, and having a master's degree from the Graduate School of Education at Loyola, allowed me to go into counseling. And so that's how the position at the domestic violence shelter came about as well.
So in terms of working at the shelter, how were you able to cope with the sort of hard stories that you hear and the struggles of the kids? Whenever I worked with young kids, that was always the hardest part for me, was hearing the stories from home.
Absolutely. And that's such a great question, John. I think that one of the things that really helped me stay focused is that I was the consistent person in the children's lives. I was there as a positive role model, and I was there as a good listener, as someone that could help guide, but also facilitate difficult conversations. And so although the work was not easy, it was probably one of the most rewarding positions I've ever had. And I believe that it made me a much stronger individual and a much stronger faculty member, because as an instructor, as a faculty member at a community college, having the skills to be able to help, guide, facilitate, but also to be resourceful has been a huge blessing for me.
So at what point in the story then did Ms. Riddle call you to, was it Ms. Riddle who called you to teach at Glendale Community College?
Yes, it was her. This was right after I earned my master's degree, is when this was in 1999. And I actually initially didn't want to take on this opportunity, but she was really just wanted me to do this. And I didn't want to let her down. So I said yes, even though I was really nervous about it. I began teaching there, and I was at GCC for 2 years before I was hired at Valley College.
And Almeida, you said you had the chance to team teach with your former mentor. How was that, and how did it feel? You were nervous getting into teaching in college, but how was it when she started?
So I was very nervous. And when I share with my students how nervous I was, and I was always, you know, I always had butterflies in my tummy, and I always felt like I just had nausea every time I went to class. My students think it's the funniest thing because they don't see me that way, right? They see me as this confident person who's standing in front of them with lectures and stories. But I think that one of the things that really helps my students feel more confident in my classes is that they know I've been there. So I know how to help them overcome some of those stresses and anxieties that they're feeling. But, you know, going back to your question, Scott, the experience of co-teaching was incredible. Even though I was always nervous, I knew that she was there to help me. And the way that she had set up this experience for me was that she would teach the first hour and 15 minutes of the course, and then the students would get a 15-minute break, and then I would come in. Well, I was in the class the entire time, but then I would have the opportunity to do the lectures. And she always had, she would provide me with such great feedback, was so gentle and amazing in the way that she would provide me with the feedback and criticism and with, you know, critique. It really helped me grow and understand what a faculty member's responsibility is. I don't know if I had always wanted to become a faculty member at a college or to teach in higher education, but having had these experiences with her really helped me see that, wow, I can actually make a difference in somebody's life because I've been through this. I understand what it's like to have these struggles. And when I share these stories with my students, they always tell me, wow, you made it. I think I can make it too. And so that's what keeps me going as an educator.
Oh, that's great. Very inspiring. Amita, you had mentioned that you were at GCC and that was prior to coming to Valley. If you can maybe walk us through that transition, but I feel like there's still more of your educational journey as well, right? From your master's, your degree. If you could share a little bit about that, please.
Sure, absolutely. So I was teaching as a part-time faculty member at Glendale Community College. Of all people, my mother kept hinting that I should apply for a job at CSUN in the Child and Adolescent Development Department. And I remember telling her, we were in the car one time, and she kept saying, you know, you really should send in your paperwork. And I said, Mom, you need a doctoral degree to teach at a university. There's no way they're going to consider me. And she said, but you have all this experience. You've worked with children for so many years, and you know, you've worked at a shelter, and you've done all this great work. And I said, Mom, I know, but, and at that time, I had just started my doctoral degree. So after I finished my master's and started teaching at GCC, I had applied for a doctoral program at Pepperdine, and I was accepted. So I was kind of doing both, you know, teaching and going to school, continuing my education. I took my mother's advice and I did apply to CSUN, and I was actually hired to teach in the Child and Adolescent Development Department at CSUN. And the reason why I'm sharing this piece of the story is because I never knew anything about Los Angeles Valley College. I actually didn't even know where it was geographically because I was, you know, a student at GCC. The farthest I had gone in the Valley was just go to CSUN for a position. So while I was teaching at CSUN and serving as an academic advisor, I was encouraged by my department chair at the time, Dr. Kelly, to apply for a full-time position at Valley College, which, you know, when she first shared this with me, I said, I don't really know where this college is. This was in 2000. She said, you really need to apply for this, Almeida, because if you are ever interested in having a full-time job, these positions don't come about. I wasn't too much interested because I didn't really know the community. I just kind of let it go. I remember Dr. Kelly approached me again a few months later and said, you know, they still have this opening and you would be great at Valley College. I said, okay, well, I'll look into it. So I did apply for the position and was hired in 2001. At the same time, you know, I was continuing my education. I was able to get accepted at Valley. And at that time, when I was hired as a full-time faculty member, I had to let some of my other positions go, and one of them was the position at Glendale Community College. But I did continue working at CSUN. So starting in 2001, I was still an academic advisor at CSUN and teaching there. I was a full-time faculty member at Valley College. So I was very busy because I was still continuing my education, working on my doctoral degree. And I'm very happy to share that I was able to finish my doctorate. It wasn't easy because of a full-time position and working at CSUN, but I was able to complete it. In 2010, I finished my doctoral degree. It was many years later, but during that time, I also got married and had my first child, Lily. She's 13 now. I always say I have three kids, even though I really only have two. I have Lily, I have my doctoral degree, and I have my son, Nadek, who's 9. So that's kind of my journey with my education. It was never easy because sometimes it's easier to give up or it's easier to say, you know what, it's just so much work. I can't ever imagine myself having a bachelor's degree or I can't imagine myself having a doctoral degree. But the one thing I know that is true in my journey is that small stepping stones. So every step that I took in my educational career made it possible for me to make it to the next step. Whether, you know, when I share this with my students, I think this is something that inspires them. I tell them, when I was a student at Glendale Community College and I was taking child development classes, I applied and I earned every single certificate they had in child development. In fact, I still have them and they're framed in my office at Valley College. Every single certificate means something very big to me, perhaps bigger than my doctoral degree that I earned in 2010, because at that time, when I was a student at the community college, it was so much more difficult to imagine that one day I would be a full professor or I would have a doctoral degree. So earning those certificates along the way made all of this possible today. And that's why I'm so thankful to my amazing professors and my mentors who always encouraged me and pushed me to the next level, even when I doubted myself and thought, you know, English is not my first language. It's not my second language. I just always remember saying that to my faculty, that I didn't think that I could do it. I didn't think that I could get through writing my dissertation or that I could finish the statistics course.
It's always the math course, huh?
Well, you know, it was not my favorite, but let me just say that every single day of my life, I used statistics. As department chair, I just finished my second term as chair at Valley College for the Child Development Department. The program review that I completed was all based on statistics. Just remember at the time how difficult the course was. And I always thought to myself, will I ever, ever use this information? And sure enough, every single day.
Yeah, I always tell my students, of all the classes that is most important in terms of you making money, it's basically statistics. Because at the end, no one's going to give you a resources or a loan. No one's going to invest in your dream or your department or your team unless mm-hmm. you can write it down with statistics.
Exactly. Prove it.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it is the class that just creates terror in a lot of students, but it's also the class that actually makes you the most money long term.
Right. Or also really helps you secure and show the world what you can do.
Yeah. You've made all these steps throughout your career. Where do you want to see yourself 5-10 years from now?
My goal is to continue to teach and to help inspire my students. But also I've been working on a book for early childhood. So I hope that in the next 2 years that I'll have that completed. I just want to stay connected and not just teach, but to do a really good job of teaching and learning and facilitating, because I think that there's a big difference because I'm not there for, don't get me wrong, I have a family to take care of. So definitely, you know, making money is important. I understand that and I accept that. But knowing that the work that I do makes a difference in my students' lives is the most important piece of what I do every day.
Nope, I was just going to say, we can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your summer here and spending the afternoon sharing with us what your educational journey was like and all the stepping stones along the way that ultimately brought you to Valley College and what you're doing now. It's inspiring to hear. And I know from working with your students over the years at the college and from fellow faculty members that it seems as though you carry on the tradition that your mentor did in terms of inspiring students and fellow colleagues mentoring everybody along the way. We're so lucky to have you at the college.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. Every day I come to work happy, even if it's through Zoom.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, if they had follow-up questions, what's the best way? Is it through email or any other means?
I think for now, since we're still in quarantine, email would be wonderful. But all my contact information is on the Child Development website. I have email, phone number, everything provided there.
Great.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm just so happy to be part of such a wonderful educational community. I really appreciate everybody there.